galaxy, and so much more. World full of heroes. Now sit here counting zeros in a cubicle downtown. I wanna look out my window, see them flying and swing across the horizon as I cheer them on so proud. See, Power Girl keeps staring at her face and call Colossus and have him teach me ways and then we'd exercise. Welcome to Comic Stack here on Red River Radio, radio.rrc.ca. Man, it has been so long.
It's
We're
been
back.
Too long.
It's too long. This is actually episode 50. 50.
It's a good way to start off the school year.
If you're keeping track. It is. I kind of thought about maybe doing it on my own. Like, not here. Like, we've kind of done some episodes in my grungy basement. Just as a podcast. Not as, like, a regular radio show.
We tried it once, the both of us.
Well, that didn't lead to great results.
Because it was an auto-tune.
We had trouble, yeah.
It was an auto-tune.
Because I've never used a computer before, and I had some serious trouble. Anyway, I was thinking of maybe doing it at my house, and then I decided not to. I wanted to save it. Number 50. It's here. It's happening. I am Mike Haynes. He is Chris Galang.
Hey.
Hi. And we're going to talk comics. We're going to talk some movie stuff. There's all kinds of Marvel movie stuff going on. There's also DC stuff happening with Batman, Superman, The Rock and his new role. We'll get into that. We're going to talk Guardians of the Galaxy as well. We're going to keep it spoiler free. It did happen. How long has it been?
A month. August the 3rd.
August 3rd, I think. We'll start with that. We'll just start off with that one. Again, spoiler free, so take it easy.
You saw it midnight release.
I saw it the
opening. The
they do those like weird
Thursday night,
10 p.m. or 7 p.m. shows that somehow aren't illegal or whatever. I went and saw that one, and it was crazy. I don't know. I don't want to overhype it. I don't want to make it, you know, too crazy. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was probably. I wouldn't say it's Marvel's. Some people have gone so far as to say it's Marvel's best movie.
No,
you don't think so?
It was good. It was really good.
It felt very Disney-esque. I thought, anyways.
I don't know what that means.
Like, very...
Fun?
Fun. Whimsical.
When I think...
Family-friendly.
I was going to say, when I think Disney, I think, like, Aladdin and Lion King and all that stuff, so...
Well, I had, like, a few issues with the movie, but that was just me.
Really?
Yeah, just the ending, kind of.
You're the only person.
I think so.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's been pretty much unanimous. People really dig this movie. It's been number one now, I think, 4 weeks in a row, which... How?
It's a good movie.
It is. Went up against what? Turtles?
Ninja Turtles.
That book movie.
Book movie?
If I Stay. I think it went up against If I Stay. And it's still number one. Still going. And then I think I read something that apparently this weekend, because there's no competition for it, it's going to wind up being number one again.
Oh, yeah, because there wasn't any Labor Day movie
releases.
Weekend releases. So.
Yeah. So really, really good all around. Acting in terms of, I guess, who was in the movie, you had like Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, Groot, Vin Diesel, Bradley Cooper as Rocket. I think everybody just nailed it. I don't know. I just thought it was like a really good.
Rocket kind of stole the movie for me.
I think Rocket kind of stole the movie for a lot of people. He was pretty good.
Yeah.
You almost couldn't see. I went with a buddy and he was saying that you almost couldn't, well, you can't tell that they're who they are. Like, you can't see when you see the characters, like Groot, like Groot is not Vin Diesel like at all. And Bradley Cooper doesn't even sound like Bradley Cooper as Rocket
for voiceovers.
Right. Yeah. I don't think he actually was Rocket Raccoon. He just did the voice.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but, anyway, yeah, great movie. This is kind of the shape of, if this is the shape of Marvel movies to come, I'm super excited. Not that they were bad before, but this has just been a super great summer for Marvel movies. We had Captain America, which I think until now was probably one of Marvel's, if not the best, it was one of the best Marvel movies. And then now Guardians, which I would say
I actually haven't seen Captain America.
Really?
My bad.
It is your bad. It's completely and entirely your bad. It's also very good. So in one summer, two amazing movies. So from there, we're going to go into some news. We're going to talk some of the happenings from comics and what's going on. I've got a little notebook here with some stuff that we can talk about.
But we'll get into that later. So we're going to start it off now. After talking about something super fun and amazing in Guardians of the Galaxy, we're going to talk about some sad stuff, some cancellations, some ends to books. No. Some of them huge. There's some huge books that are ending. And I'm kind of scared to see what's going to happen because, I mean, they're good books, and I've been really enjoying them.
I actually have no idea what you're talking about, so this is news to me.
Yeah, you don't have your thing, hey?
No, it's not. My pocket isn't working. That's our news feed.
Yeah, so Chris is going to be in
going
the dark,
in blind.
Going in blind. I'll explain them to you, and then you'll be...
Got it.
You'll be perfect.
So I definitely have a lot of questions this episode.
Perfect.
Just to let the listeners know, I haven't read a comic book in probably 3 months.
It's a good thing you're here.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Talking on a comic book show, so...
In contrast to that, I'm probably more caught up now with my books than I've ever been. I think
so
I've read almost everything.
It kind of evens out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving into news. Superior Foes of Spider-Man and New Warriors will be ending in November. Superior Foes of Spider-Man, I was reading the first couple issues and it was good. It just didn't really grip me quite enough to keep reading. It has been regarded as one of the better books that Marvel is doing, so it's sad to see it go because it's one of those sort of quality over quantity kind of things where quantity in this case obviously being readers. Quality of the book's amazing, but it just doesn't have enough to sustain it. So this is actually the case of a number of books. Hawkeye, for instance, is one of the best books Marvel has going, but I don't know if it's actually bringing in insane numbers that you would get from a book like Amazing Spider-Man or Uncanny X-Men or anything. So, but Hawkeye as well is going to be ending, I think, in the next couple issues, which is, I don't know. I kind of think it's okay for a book like that, like especially because it's been so...
It'll end on a high note.
Well, yeah, it'll end on a high note for sure. And it's been Matt Fraction, the writer. It's been his, like, since the beginning, he's never switched off. It's entirely his, of his mind. And, you know, working with the artists that he's worked with, it's been a very select few. And I don't know, it keeps it consistent. And it's going to make for an amazing sort of volume when they collect it all together. And... You know, this might be the same way with Superior
Foes. It's definitely been a different take on comic books now. I know there was one issue where it's mostly symbols for dialogue, right?
Well, okay, so there was, I think it was issue 11 or something like that.
And there's, I think, the newer issue that's coming out that it's all in sign language.
It's all in sign language. Yeah. That one's already out.
Oh, it's out already?
Yeah, I think that was issue 18
like
or 19.
Issue. Yeah.
Super, super good. Really, really great. Done by David Aya, who was the artist on both of those. So, The first one, the one that's just symbols and things, is told from the perspective of the dog. You're reading what he understands. So it's all symbols and squiggly lines when people are talking, and he can make out single words and whatnot.
Like pizza,
right? And he understands the pizza dog. Yeah.
Yeah, pizza dog.
He understands that Hawkeye, that Clint Barton is the guy that feeds him and takes care of him, but also that yells at him. And he likes Kate Bishop better, who is the female Hawkeye. And he has very specific icons about how he likes her and then dislikes Clint, and like just I don't know. Really, really good book. I think it won, I'm pretty sure it won awards. The Eisners have happened, by the way, since we were last on the air. So
I also didn't know that.
There you go. Yeah. Anyway, so Superior Foes, New Warriors is going to be ending in November. I didn't read New Warriors, but...
Didn't that just start up in February?
Yes. And it's
so
already...
It's a pretty new book that's ending.
Yeah.
At issue 7, 8, I guess?
12.
12. Well, I was off.
But still, I mean, it's 12 issues in, and it will be ending at issue 12, which means we're, seven, eight issues in. So it's strange. It's sad to see books go before their time, unless they're not good. But
I remember
in this case,
we were
they're
talking
both good.
About
so
the teasers for New Warriors.
Right.
Back in episode.
Yeah, because who's on the team?
There's Scarlet Spider.
Right.
Nova.
Scarlet Spider, that's what I was thinking
Nova.
Of. Yeah.
That's all I can remember.
Yeah, no, I remember though. I'm thinking
and a couple characters from the Runaways, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They haven't been in much lately, so. We got our first look at Paul Rudd, who's playing Scott Lang in Ant-Man. It's a very quick shot. He's near the Brooklyn Bridge. He's just sort of hanging out. He looks a little bit beat up. There's other pictures of him now that have surfaced since I put this in the news feed, that he looks much more normal. We've also seen shots of I can't remember her name, Evangeline Lilly, who's going to be playing...
From Lost.
Right. And she's got a very Janet... haircut, Janet being the Wasp from the old school Avengers book.
So that's like a short...
Yeah.
Okay.
So everybody's kind of assuming that's going to be kind of the role that she's taking. She's not playing Janet, but anyway. So it looks neat. It's shaping up finally after we had... I think we talked about it on here that Edgar Wright left the movie.
Sad.
Yeah.
Who's the...
I can't remember who they got to replace him. Okay. We'll find out. But yeah, it sucks. It's a shame. It's not, I don't know. I really like his stuff. It was exciting to see what he was going to do with the character. He's been working on it for like a decade, and obviously just didn't work out. Yeah. Anyway, so we got our first look at that. It's going to be out next year, I think in May or June, somewhere around there. So keep an eye out. Donald Glover some time ago made a big campaign about wanting to play Spider-Man in the more recent Spider-Man reboot.
That was before Amazing Spider-Man, so probably 2009?
9, 10, yep. Yeah. And he made a case for it. I mean, like, why couldn't a black guy play Spider-Man?
And Peter Parker.
Exactly. And what spiraled out of this was sort of a, like an online kind of campaign sort of siding with him, saying like, why couldn't
he
do it?
Yeah, they even made reference to it on a Community.
Yep.
He'd like wake up in his Spider-Man pajamas for like an opening scene or whatever.
Awesome. Another thing that spiraled out of that, though, was the creation of Miles Morales by Brian Michael Bendis. Ultimate Spider-Man, exactly. Miles Morales is currently the main character of the Ultimate Spider-Man book and has been since the last volume. Mm-hmm. He was the main character. Peter Parker of the Ultimate Universe was killed off. Miles took over. And it's been really, really good. I'm current with that one. The new volume, and I read most of the last volume. And it's fantastic. Where you get a whole new character, brand new backstory, and he's completely fresh but can carry
different powers too.
He's got different powers.
Like stun people, go invisible.
Yeah, he's got invisibility, all this. To wrap this whole thing right up, Donald Glover is going to be playing Miles Morales in the Spider-Man TV show, the cartoon. I think it's Spider-Man Unlimited.
On Disney?
Ultimate
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Now it's going to get confusing because the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon is still,
Peter Parker.
But Miles Morales in the Ultimate Spider-Man comic exists.
Yeah.
Anyway, in the cartoon, Spider-Man's going to be traveling from dimension to dimension in search of Green Goblin. And in one of the dimensions that he travels to, he will meet Miles Morales, who's going to be voiced by Donald Glover.
Didn't they do something similar to that back in the 90s?
Yeah, that was the...
Was that just the Clone Wars?
No, it was that. I think that was Spider-Man Unlimited. And that followed the 90s cartoon.
Yeah.
Which was incredible. And the Spider-Man Unlimited cartoon was not so incredible and had him going to a different dimension where Venom and Carnage were running the show. And then I think he fought them, and it was this really weird animation style.
Was that the CGI one?
It was kind of CG.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
It was kind of. It wasn't. I think it is the one that you're thinking of. I'm not 100% sure. I think it's the one you're thinking of, though.
I'm thinking about the one that used to run at the same time as like X-Men, like way back in the day, and like.
Oh no, you're thinking of the '90s one.
Yeah.
Where it had like the CG scenes with the animation where he would swing through
the webbing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking of the one that happened after that.
Okay.
I don't know if it's in canon or if they exist alongside each other or what, but anyway, yeah, no, that's interesting. Anyway, good for him. He's going to be playing a character that he basically inspired, and he's excited to do it, so that's pretty exciting. Very exciting.
I'm excited.
You should be. Speaking of cancellations, I mentioned a big one. Avengers 44 will be the last issue of Avengers. Which is shocking because it's Avengers, and why wouldn't you want to have your main Avengers book continue?
I stopped reading Avengers after
Infinity.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I tried picking up a few issues afterwards, and I was always wondering what happened to what is his name? The dude with
I'm just
gonna
leave you hanging. Ex Nihilo,
because they never brought him back.
No, he showed up in a couple issues.
He's so cool.
He is pretty cool. The book has been written by Jonathan Hickman. And he's been writing it since issue one. He also wrote Infinity, which was this massive tie-in with the other Avengers books, New Avengers, and then the main Avengers book. And his entire run has been building to something that I'm pretty sure the title of the arc is going to be Time Runs Out. And essentially, the universes, I think, collapse on themselves. We haven't gotten confirmation yet, but I think the universes collapse on themselves because there's been multiple references to parallel Earths and Earths intersecting with each other, mm-hmm. and destroying each other and whatnot. And 44 is being billed as the final issue. So there's the way that this all kind of leaked out was just Marvel's running sort of a campaign for retailers. If you're ordering books, if you are ordering too many copies of specific books, you send them covers,
yep.
and you get like variants, special variant covers. And it's a long, long process, whatever. But one of the variant covers that they're going to be sending you is the final issue variant of Avengers 44. So everybody kind of figured out that was the end of the road for that one. But are they going to replace it? Are they going to be restarting it? Like, what are they doing? You can't have...
So, wait, are you saying the universes are collapsing on each other and there's just going to be one universe now?
Maybe. But there's always been only one, really only like one or two universes for
So that for means Marvel. It'll be then for Avengers? Mm-hmm. New Avengers, I take it? Or
it's still going as far as I know. Okay. So it's just, I don't know. It's weird how it's all going to work out, but I don't know. If you've been reading Avengers since issue one, this is like... Everything that has happened in this is like every little tiny thing has had some kind of impact on this like big end game. And we started like before Infinity and worked all the way through Infinity, which was the last really big Marvel event, big crossover. And it just kept going. Like after that, Avengers came rocketing out of Infinity with this whole thing about what was it called? Rogue planets that were being sent from the future. Back to the past.
That's confusing.
It's very tough to follow. I think that's why you stopped reading Avengers.
I think so. I'm getting a headache right now just trying to think about it.
Yeah. But really, really cool because it took forever for that whole payoff to happen. Yeah. But when you finally figured out what was causing it and where it came from, mm-hmm. and who was sending it back, so cool. Really, really cool. Again, if you get it collected, if you get the Rogue Planet arc, all collected in one book, it would make for a really, really good read, but it was tough to follow month to month just because it's so intricate.
Can we stay on Avengers? I have a question. What's up with Captain America?
We can talk about some of that stuff too. Yeah. I mean, it's been a while, right? So Captain America is getting replaced. By Falcon. So the way that I understand it is Captain America becomes depowered because I think the serum that is running through him that's making him Captain America is running out.
Okay, so this ties into a current comic, or comic arc, I guess, with the depowering of the superhuman serum soldier.
Well, kind of. You're talking like with Nick Fury.
Yeah.
We can talk on that,
too. I guess
too.
That's like spoilers.
Well, we'll talk about that in reviews for sure. Okay. But he's basically getting depowered, and then Falcon's going to take over. So they've got like a brand new redesigned costume and everything for him, and...
Captain America, the new Falcon, could fly, I guess, because he still has the wings.
Yep. And I can't remember if he's got a shield or not. He must. He must have a shield. He's got the big star on his chest and whatnot.
What's up with Bucky?
That's all part of original Sam. Okay. Yeah. So that happened. We were also getting a female-led Thor book that's just going to be called Thor. They specifically mentioned this morning, they interviewed the writer for that one, Jason Aaron, and he said that this isn't like... Thorita or She Thor or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is Thor. It's her book now. This is how it's going to be. And we got some preview art for it that looks really, really cool. It's by Russell Dauterman, I think, is the artist. And it spins out of Original Sin, which ended this.
It's Angela.
This week. No, Angela's getting her own book.
After Thor. She's Thor for a bit, then she's Angela.
This is where we insert the part where Chris mentions that he hasn't read any books in like
Clone Wars 2, it's happening.
3 months, yeah. Anyway, it's going to be ending in April of next year. Avengers will be ending, which is a whole other thing because then you've got Avengers, the movie coming out, Avengers 2 coming out. So like something's going to happen there. That's probably why they're ending this and then they're going to reboot it right
Avengers
when the movie comes
coming
out.
At the same time as Ant-Man?
I think Ant-Man, I can't remember now. I think Ant-Man's the first part of Phase 3, so this is coming out first. Avengers comes
Ant-Man
out first.
Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, Guardians is part of Phase 2.
Okay.
Oh, you're talking Guardians 2.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly when that's coming out. That's part of the... They announced some like 9 or 10 movie deal or something like that, so... We are falling way off of track
right
now.
Sorry, I have so many questions.
That's okay. It's been so long.
For me, anyways.
Marvel's going to be reprinting some of the Dark Horse Star Wars books. We know Marvel now owns the rights to Star Wars because they own Star Wars. Dark Horse previously had the rights to be doing all the books. Marvel is ending those books, and they are starting up their own books. So they're getting a bunch of their writers now on brand new stories. So they've got a Star Wars ongoing similar to what Brian Wood did. Awkwardly not written by Brian Wood, which made for a very interesting conversation online where he was confused and rightfully so. There's going to be a Darth Vader book, and I think there's also a Princess Leia book. And they've got, like, top talent on this stuff. You're going to get, like, I think Terry Dodson from... I'm pretty sure Terry Dodson's doing some stuff. I think Adam Hughes is doing some stuff as well.
Sweet.
I know they have Kieran Gillen that's going to be writing the Darth Vader book. So, like, top talent on this stuff. It's going to be really exciting. But if you were a fan of the Dark Horse stuff, they're going to be doing reprints of some of that beginning in April of 2015.
Just so. Published by Marvel.
Right, right. Because it's theirs now. So okay. It was expected that they were going to be switching over. I think when the deal first happened, it was sort of like up in the air, like what's going to, you know, who's going to get what or when is it going to happen or are the books going to continue and stuff. And I think that's what made for the confusion with Brian Wood was that he was never even approached about continuing his ongoing book, which I think has sold really well. I've read the first arc.
You have the first issue, do you not?
I have the first arc, the first volume of the series. It was really good, and he doesn't rewrite anything. He just kind of fills in stuff. He's sort of like the filler between the bricks in a wall kind of thing, and like he changes the. I don't know. He doesn't really change anything. Just the perception.
Wasn't he responsible for explaining? Yes, Princess Leia can fly an X-wing.
Yeah, and everybody that caused a big, huge thing because.
Well, it's like not having your driver's license.
Well, right, exactly. Yeah. I mean,
she could fly.
Yeah, she's part of the Rebel Alliance. Like, why wouldn't she be able to fly an X-wing?
Exactly.
I don't know. Craziness. More Marvel rumors. Apparently, Joaquin Phoenix is in final negotiations to play Doctor Strange. Chris is confused. I think it's good.
I liked him in what's that movie with
Walk the Line.
No, no.
Signs.
No. Russell Crowe.
Gladiator.
Her. I didn't like him in Signs.
I'm Still Here.
I haven't seen.
That's that movie where he went nuts. It was like the real life movie.
Oh, he pulled like
it was like a faux documentary thing.
That's right.
Yeah. He's been in a bunch of stuff, and I don't know. I think he's a pretty good actor. He's okay. We need somebody. Someone's going to play Doctor Strange. I mean, if it's going to be him or like, I don't know. I really wanted Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp apparently was rumored to be in the running too. That would have been really good.
Directed by Tim Burton.
No. No. Why? I know why, but do you remember The Tick?
Yeah.
Of course you remember The Tick.
It was like a 90s Fox cartoon.
Specifically, The Tick was originally a comic book from the 80s, from the late 80s, before being adapted into a television series for Fox in 94 that ran for a couple of years, and then it was changed into a live action series that ran for one season in 2001 to 2002.
I did not know that.
There you go. And Patrick Warburton, he played the Tick in the TV show. He also played Putty in Seinfeld. If you're familiar with Seinfeld, you're not familiar with Seinfeld.
I'm that guy.
Perfect. Anyway, so Putty played the Tick.
Okay.
And that's sort of where the whole thing ended. After the series, it ran for one season. It didn't do so hot. Like, I mean, people loved it, but it didn't do numbers.
Because it was live action?
I guess. I don't really know. It was entertaining enough. And apparently now Amazon has actually picked up the rights to restart the series. And they're going to apparently be casting the same people, including Putty, as the Tick. So this means nothing because you don't know who I'm talking about.
No.
But you know what the Tick is.
I do.
Right. And I just don't
remember his superpowers. Did he not have a sidekick?
Yeah, Arthur. The dude that wore the white outfit with the wings and the weird hat.
It was like kind of like a moth or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And man, it's been too long. I wonder if it's on Netflix. You should look.
No.
You're not looking. Anyway, so they're bringing that back. More importantly, Netflix is doing content now, which is pretty interesting. I think that's kind of different. They're doing original content similar to like what Netflix and stuff does. So I like that this would be like one of the first things that they would think of. Be like, let's do our own stuff. Specifically, let's start the Tick up again and let's call up Patrick Warburton.
Because and get him to do
it. And he loves it too. Like he did an interview back in 2009 and he was mentioning that he thought the character would come back, but he didn't know if he was going to be the one doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's the one doing it. So that's exciting, I think. You don't think so? Okay. Moving on. So in an age where exclusivity in comics no longer exists, Charles Soule has signed exclusively with Marvel. Charles Soule recently wrote The Death of Wolverine, which is a four-part miniseries that actually started this week, and we'll talk about it later because I've read it. So he signed exclusively right before the book came out, which is interesting. Perfect timing on Marvel's part. I'm not sure what his plans are post-Wolverine, but I would assume it's probably something to do with Wolverine, and it will most certainly be involving Marvel. His DC stuff will be ending early 2015. I don't know exactly how long the the contract runs for. Exclusivity has been kind of a weird thing. So you've had artists often get signed exclusively. Marvel did like a big campaign with like their Young Guns and they signed a bunch of guys there. But then it kind of became, I don't know, it wasn't done as much. It almost felt like if the art and the writing and stuff was solid enough, then you didn't need to sign them exclusively. Like they could go off and do something else if they wanted.
Yep.
I don't know. It's a sort of a weird kind of thing. But yeah, I don't know. Good for him. It's exciting. Wolverine was good.
First issue.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into it after.
Okay.
So we mentioned it already. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to be playing some sort of character in the Shazam movie from DC. He's now confirmed that it's Black Adam. This has been something that I think fans have been pretty adamant about wanting for, 5 years or something? Since that crazy picture of him that someone clearly photoshopped the Black Adam outfit onto.
Oh, I haven't seen.
Really?
I'm going to do that right now.
Yeah, so anyway, someone did that. And as soon as people saw it, it was just people lost their minds and were like, he's perfect. He looks exactly like him. It must happen. And then it didn't and didn't and didn't. And now it finally is. So apparently it's a much more lighthearted take than some of us might be thinking it would be. I thought it was going to be just gory and crazy because That's how the character is. But
so we talk about like Scorpion King or babies. What was it? Baby? No, Tooth Fairy.
Tooth Fairy. It'll probably be the Tooth Fairy, Chris. That's probably what that's probably about as close as it's going to get. Wasn't that Vin Diesel? That was Vin Diesel.
Which?
Didn't he do a movie like that too?
I can't remember.
Okay, we'll look it up after. We'll watch it. So yeah, that's interesting. I don't know when we're getting that kind of movie. The whole DC thing is kind of up in the air. Like, you want to talk about, you know, Marvel's got this big nine movie plan, and it's all
planned out
to it, like to the date.
Yep.
No titles because they want to keep it kind of so secretive from us and stuff. I'm sure they know the titles, but it almost sounds like over in DC's camp, they don't know the titles or the dates or anything. So they're just
trying to push out movies.
Yeah. Here's 12 movies, but we don't know what they are. It's like, okay, well, we know now that there's Batman, Superman. We know Justice League's in there. We know the Shazam movie is in there. Sure.
Probably an Aquaman, Wonder Woman.
Well, I guess it really depends what we're getting out of Batman Superman.
I'm so hesitant about that movie.
Well, we've seen stuff now. We saw there was at San Diego Comic Con, they showed a quick little teaser that had Ben Affleck in Batsuit and Henry Cavill as well as Superman. It was super, super quick. You can find leaks of it online. Looks very much like Dark Knight Returns. We've seen Wonder Woman. I never know how to pronounce her name. Gal Gadot.
Oh, yeah, she was in a
Fast and the Furious.
Thank you.
I gotcha. Looks very Wonder Woman-esque, I guess, short of the high heels. But again, we think Aquaman is going to be in this movie. Rumor has it The Flash is going to be in there. So, I mean, at this point, everybody's in it. So you have to imagine we're going to get an Aquaman movie, a Flash movie. Maybe they're planning out the sequel to Justice League already. Who knows, right? So, yeah, not really sure. So just a quick announcement, I guess, about Miracle Man, if you're familiar with the character, or Marvel Man that was purchased by Marvel some time ago. It was originally a character on, it's going to kill me, I don't remember, Eclipse, I think, comics that they bought the rights to, and I've never really done much with. They've done reprints of the old books. The character, I think, has been around since... long time. 60s? 70s? Probably later.
I can't help you.
This
with
is
that,
well
sorry.
Outside my range here. So, anyway, we're going to be finally getting some new stuff. There's a story that's been written by Grant Morrison, of all people, that's going to be drawn by Joe Quesada, which is pretty exciting. The only way that Grant Morrison would allow this story to be published is if Joe Quesada did the art.
Really?
So, Joe Quesada is like the guy over at Marvel Publishing. He's the executive operating officer, I think, the COO or. No, the EOO, sure. Anyway, I don't know letters or names or numbers. So anyway, yeah, it's a big talent on that. Grant Morrison, I don't think, has done anything over at Marvel since New X-Men years and years ago with Frank Quitely. So it's going to be the Miracle Man Annual number one. It's a story he originally wrote, mid-80s, and he never published because he didn't want to disrespect what Alan Moore was doing at the time, stepping on anybody's toes. So we're finally going to be seeing that. It's exciting. I want to see what they do with this. Rumor has it they've been trying to integrate Miracle Man into the greater Marvel universe for some time. So this is about as close as we're getting to that. And yeah. And then last piece of news, Gail Simone is going to be launching a brand new Secret Six book over at DC as part of the New 52. I don't know what took them so long. That's it.
Secret Six.
Yeah. Secret Six was a book of sort of like villains that were like good guys, sort of like Thunderbolts, I guess, on the DC side of things.
Okay.
Catman was part of it. Deadshot, I think, was part of it. I can't remember the rest of them. Gail Simone's been attached to that team forever, so if anybody else was writing the book, it just would not make any sense. So we've been talking news for a while. I think we should take a quick breather, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk books from this week and some of the books you read over the break. We'll be back in a couple minutes on Comic Stack, Red River Radio.
If we're going to get out of here, we're going to need to get into that watchtower. And to do that, I'm going to need a few things. The guards wear security bands to control their ins and outs. I need one.
Leave it to me.
That dude there. I need his prosthetic leg.
His leg?
Yeah. God knows I don't need the rest of him. Look at him. He's useless.
All right.
And finally, on the wall back there is a black panel. Blinky yellow light. You see it?
Yeah.
There's a Quarnix battery behind it. Purplish box, green wires. To get into that watchtower, I definitely need it.
How are we supposed to do that?
Well, supposedly these bald bodies find you attractive, so maybe you can work out some sort of trade.
You must be joking.
No, I really heard they find you attractive.
Here at Red River Radio, we believe you should only turn your volume knob one way.
Up. Red River Radio.
When you volunteer for Special Olympics Manitoba, you're more than just a volunteer.
You're a friend.
A brother.
A sister.
A teammate.
A role model.
A leader.
A superstar.
And an idol. But most importantly, you're someone's hero. Help make a difference in an athlete's life. Volunteer for Special Olympics Manitoba today. For more information, visit specialolympics.mb.ca.
You're listening to Red River Radio. Red River Radio. Show me the way, brother. Give me a sign, sister. Red River Radio, streaming live at radio.rc.ca or on the TuneIn app. Red River Radio, for students, by students.
Everyone deserves a place to call home, a place that offers comfort, shelter, and peace of mind. That is what Silo Mission creates for those experiencing homelessness. The Madison is now that place many call home. Because of the generous time and donations given by the community, the Madison has created 85 homes and given a sense of dignity to those experiencing homelessness. Because of you, Silo Mission is able to proceed with their vision for a positive future. Visit siloam.ca for more ways you can help build the community.
Hope changes everything. The Health Sciences Center Foundation supports the people who provide healthcare to HSC, funding research, education, advanced technology, and infrastructure development is no small task. We need you to help make a difference. Donate now by calling 204-787-2022 or through our website at hscf.thankyouforcaring.org. Together, we can help the HSC Foundation bring hope to life.
Red River Radio. For students, by students.
Welcome back to Comic Stack here on Red River Radio, radio.rsc.ca. You can either tune in live through the Red River site, or you can also check it out on TuneIn as well. You can carry it with you wherever you go, too, if you have the TuneIn app on your phone or device of choice. And, yeah, so we're going to talk about some books from last week. I'm also going to talk about some books from the weeks prior, because we've been gone for so long, and there's been some amazing stuff that Chris has already mentioned that he did not read.
That's right.
But he should. And you should too. So this past week, we had the finale for Original Sin. So Original Sin number 8. And then we also had Moon Knight number 7, which is Brian Wood's debut on the book. And then we also had, it's a title that I don't know if you can say on the radio. Southern B-Words number 4.
Oh, I see.
Southern Bastards number 4. also came out this week, which is the last issue. It's either the last issue of the whole book or the last issue of that arc. So it's a 4-issue series.
To be fair, I thought you were going to say another a different B word.
No, Maybe we weren't. Maybe I wasn't supposed to say that one then. I don't know. But it did come out, and yeah. So I might mention the name a couple times. I'm really sorry. We'll start with Original Sin, though. Original Sin, this is issue 8. It's the finale. This is it. If you're not current on Original Sin, it basically has the death of the Watcher. It starts with his death. I'm not ruining anything. But who's done it? It's like a whodunit mystery kind of thing. It's sort of cosmic in nature, involves a decent chunk of the Marvel Universe, Nick Fury being a central part of this, which is like the original Nick Fury, not the recently integrated into the series because of the TV show Nick Fury, as confusing as that sounds. The art was done entirely by Mike Diodato Jr., throughout the whole thing. He's actually done some stuff recently on New Avengers and Thunderbolts, Dark Avengers, stuff like that. So it's written by Jason Aaron, and Jason Aaron's the guy that's doing kind of everything right now. He also wrote Southern Bastards, and he's writing the new Thor book. He wrote the previous Thor book as well, all over the place. So it was a very Jason Aaron kind of week. Finale wraps up pretty nicely. Has nowhere near as many repercussions to the Marvel Universe as we've had in the past. Do you remember, like, Civil War, right? Civil War, we had Civil Captain War. America's death. We had Secret Invasion, the Wasp died.
I didn't read that one.
Siege, the Sentry dies.
That's right. You were super
I'm just
choked.
Ruining all these books now, by the way.
People die.
Yeah, a lot of people die. Well, no, that's how it goes, right? These big events, at the end of them, you've got a massive death that just sort of shakes everybody. I don't know. It's this one had far less repercussions. You were mentioning Bucky, and you were kind of wondering what happens with him. You know exactly what happens with him at the end of this. And if you're a fan of the character, he gets his own book now. Again, he's going to be getting his own book. So it's without ruining what happens in this book, because it is still new, just came out. If you're a fan of the character, they're sending him in places. They're sending him off to places that he's not. I don't think he's ever been before.
Bucky?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's going to be pretty exciting. I'm pretty stoked. I'm not usually really excited about that character, but the premise of this idea where they kind of throw him at the end of Original Sin has me excited. So,
and we do find out who killed the Watcher.
Find out who killed the Watcher. Definitely.
I'm going to spoil it for myself right now.
Perfect. But I'm not going to ruin it on the air because it's definitely worth reading. And it's a decent series. It's different. It had a totally different tone to it.
It's more of like a detective story, I guess.
Kind of. I mean, it's... When you look back, like we had Infinity as our last big event. Was it the last one? I think it was the last one.
Yeah.
Sure. And that one was massive in scale, right? You had, they went from like one end of the universe to the other. You had both Avengers teams. You had basically every character of the Marvel Universe at some point making an appearance in this thing. It was crazy. And this one, it's a very select group. It does kind of encompass everybody eventually, but I don't know. It just felt more sort of like focused, and we got to learn more about the Watcher, which is something that I don't think we've gotten... Recently, we haven't really gotten a ton of. They kind of crack some jokes about how, you know, he just stands there and doesn't really do anything or say anything. And they're screaming at him to, like, you know, if you see all these horrible things happening, why wouldn't you do something? And then that has all kinds of backlash later on. And I don't know, overall, just really, really decent book. The ending, I would say, was a little, not a letdown. I don't want to say a letdown, just sort of, I don't know, a little calm. A little more calmer than I think it should have been, but whatever. Good book overall. And also this week, we had Moon Knight number 7 from Brian Wood. And I'm going to have to pull up the artist's name. I can't remember. Smallwood, I think, was his name. And this is his first crack at the character since Warren Ellis left last month. Warren Ellis did the first 6 issues. Now Brian Wood is taking over. Really, really great standalone issue. I have not read the first 6 issues, and I just jumped into this one. Really cool, amazing art. The art is super, super good. But it does sort of involve a character that I'm not familiar with, and I don't know how this person ties into the rest of this series, so it kind of left me a little shaken. The story overall was fine and very standalone-ish, but this one part.
This one little part.
It was just like, well, I don't know who that is, so I'll just go on with my life, I guess. But a character that, like, I'm not... really super familiar with. Moon Knight is kind of out there, a little bit strange and different, but good. Like it was neat. It doesn't really give you a ton about his personality and kind of where he's at right now. You know, there's something clearly off about him, and the intro page actually describes that he's completely lost his mind and is insane. But he's still a good guy. Like, he doesn't let that become an evil sort of thing. I don't even know what that means. But it was, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. You should read it, Chris.
Maybe.
Put it on the pile.
The big stack. Yeah, for sure.
And last book from this week was Southern Bastards number 4, also written by Jason Aaron. It's drawn by Jason Latour. Follows this guy that goes back to his hometown after his father passes away and kind of has to take it upon himself to deliver vigilante justice to a town full of, what's the polite term?
B word.
No, yeah, sure, why not? Yeah. Really, like, a lot of violence, a lot of swearing. Art's incredible. Story's really neat, and it ends in such a strange way. Again, it's just like that. That was like that could probably be like the subtitle for this week's comics.
It ends in a strange
weird
way.
Endings.
Oh, weird endings.
Yeah, and but so different than other books that I've read. It's published by Image, which is good because there's a lot more creative freedom there. And it'll be a nice. That's also the subtitle of everything this week. It'll make a nice collected edition, 4 issues. Really good read, clearly open-ended for a sequel or some kind of follow-up. Just good.
Make
just really enjoyed
movie.
It.
I feel like usually Image books make...
It kind of already does. Like Walking Tall with The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
You know where the dude like walks around with like a bat?
With a bat.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing. Just more swearing in this one, probably. And a lot more violent. Especially issue 4. There's some stuff that happens that's like... Whew. It's not pleasant. Greg Smallwood is the artist on Moon Knight. Sorry, I had to look that up. I couldn't do that. That was mean. But yeah, Southern Bastards, really great book. As for pick of the week, I would definitely I'd have to go with Southern Bastards as my pick, just because of how different it was. And I don't know. I'd say if you haven't read the book and you've got a little bit of money to spare, pick it up. 4 issues. It's not that bad. Quick reads as well. Really entertaining. A lot of fun. And it's written by Jason Aaron, who we've talked about.
That'll also be my pick.
And it'll be Chris's pick, too, because he's also read it.
Of course.
He's also read it. Nope.
Yep.
You haven't changed one bit.
Nope.
Nope.
Well, I got a fresh haircut, so.
Perfect. That relates to this show.
It does.
So a couple weeks ago, there was another book that came out called The Fade Out that I just want to shine a quick light on. It's written by Ed Brubaker and drawn by Sean Phillips. They have a deal over at Image Comics for 5 years, so they're going to be cranking out some quality stuff there. This is a crime noir book set in old Hollywood. What I don't know what era it would have been. '60s?
'20s?
No.
I don't know.
I should know this. As something that I'm currently spotlighting, I should know this. Anyway, really, really good book. It's got like a lot of like backgroundy. No, I don't even know what I'm. I don't even know where I'm going with this. It's a murder mystery story where guy basically finds himself in a weird situation that he potentially might have been the cause of. And he has to sort of cover his tracks and also figure out what happened. It's
okay, so he kind of wakes up with amnesia. It's like, what's going on?
Yeah, you wake up in like the worst possible situation, and you've got to figure it out. Sean Phillips is drawing like the art of his career here. It's super, super good. Really great, almost like the painterly kind of style to it. Ed Brubaker is one of the best writers in comics, period. He's written the Criminal series of books, Incognito. These are through Icon and Image. He's done Captain America for years, up until recently when he switched off that book. He was writing that. He wrote an amazing book with Greg Rucka over at DC called Gotham Central. That's actually kind of the basis for the Gotham TV show that's starting up right away. This guy has like tons and tons of accolades to his name. Eisner's, Harvey Awards, everything. Definitely pick it up. It's only 1 issue so far. I think it's at least 4 issues. You should definitely give it a look. That was 2 weeks ago. 1 week? 2 weeks. I'm going to go 2 weeks. We'll say 2 weeks. Really, really good book. And that's kind of it for new releases and stuff like that. So, Low, you have read Low, have you not?
Halfway through.
Perfect. So Low came out. Low is a book through Image, written by Rick Remender. It's drawn by Greg Ciccini. We've talked about it numerous times on here. It's really, like, it's visually mind-boggling.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, it's one of the best-looking books out right now. And the story's super depressing, super, super dark, super low. But it'll be neat to see where it goes. I'm excited for that one. Image is like, we've said this before too, Image is just cranking out books right now. That
second issue just came out this week.
Last week.
Last week.
Yep.
Last week.
Yep. Definitely worth picking up. It's fantastic. Looking ahead a little bit, we've got some new books coming out, obviously, on Wednesday. We've got new issue of Amazing Spider-Man, new issue of Avengers. Edge of Spider-Verse kicks off, which is going to be the massive every Spider-Man ever crossover.
I'm excited for that one.
Yes, that's going to be wicked. It's going to be starting with Spider-Man Noir, of all characters.
Sick.
Yeah, and then issue two is going to be the debut of Spider-Woman, but Gwen Stacy. Spider-Woman.
I love the costume.
Yeah, looks super, super cool. So Hawkeye issue 20 is coming out. And then we've got a new issue. You haven't been reading United States of Murder. That's another. It's from Icon. It's written by Bendis, Brian Michael Bendis. Mm-hmm. So also worth checking out. And then a new issue of Walking Dead as well to keep an eye out for. Tons and tons of stuff. A little bit light this week. Really, really exciting next week. Should be fun. So if I look into my little notebook here. Sorry, I'm literally going to look in my notebook. So I wrote down here, I was just curious what your thoughts are as it relates to switching from physical to digital comics. Okay, so we talk a lot about digital. We give away digital codes. It's a very digital kind of world, right?
Yep.
I've recently given some serious thought to ditching my physical books.
Wow.
I know.
You have a lot of physical books. I have quite a few. I've seen your collection.
I recently cataloged all my books. I think I have about 5,100 books, and I'm running out of room for boxes. So,
I like digital. Personally, I like digital. With me, every time I'd purchase like issues or trade paperbacks, I'd always try to keep them in pristine condition. So, like mm-hmm. as I'm flipping through the pages, I'm like kind of being very careful. I don't want like finger marks or anything like that. And especially with school starting too, like I don't like the idea of carrying like 5-6 issues in my backpack that I haven't read yet on my break. Like, you know, I want to read on my break, but it's just that extra weight that I don't really need. And with, you know, digital,
yeah,
I could just have it on my laptop. The instructor's talking away. I could just read it then.
There's never a better time to read a comic than when you're in class and supposed to be learning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
I'm being sarcastic. As we're on a college radio station.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Yep.
Yep.
No, you pretty much nailed it right on the head. So the idea behind digital is that I can save a substantial amount of space and I can carry a lot of books with me. So I've recently been buying, at great pain to my wallet, physical and digital copies of certain books. So, for example, The Fade Out, which we were just talking about and you should totally read. I bought a digital copy because I woke up and was too lazy to go down to the store and buy it. I bought a digital copy. Yeah, I bought a digital copy and I didn't want to go down and buy it. But I did buy a physical copy as well. So I own both. And I don't know. I kind of thought about it while it was happening. I'm like, I could probably switch most of my comic buying to digital and save myself at the very least time.
And with digital, is it not? It's pretty much the same price of an actual physical copy, if not cheaper.
Well, and that's sort of. So now we can. That's yeah. Like fine. Now the next part, right? Yep. So you want to talk about digital stuff. You've got, books that are coming out at cover price. So you walk into a store and you buy a physical copy of it and it's $2.99 or $3.99 or whatever it is. And the digital version is exactly the same amount. So if I'm paying $2.99 or $3.99 for a digital comic that I technically don't really own, mm-hmm. you never really own it, doesn't it make more sense for me to get my lazy butt out of bed and just go and buy the actual copy for the same price?
Exactly. And when you do have the actual copy, you have that nice comic book smell.
That smell.
Fresh, yeah.
Man, I'd bottle that.
That comic book ink.
It's that paper, too.
Yeah.
Depending on where you buy the book from. Like, the different publishers have, like, we're going to be...
Oh, and material, too.
We're, like, next level nerd at this point. The way that the books smell.
Like, remember, Afterlife with Archie?
Yeah.
That feel, that cover?
So, okay, so then now you're raising another good point here. Then you have the actual tactile, like, feel of the book, right? Mm-hmm. So then you're absent. That's absent from an iPad version, right? So you basically get to sit there and constantly feel how neat an iPad is. And, like, they feel neat, but they don't feel like that really unique, like papery feeling, right? And there's like a lot of different like covers and stocks and stuff like that that like you might have. I'm trying to think of what book it was I read recently, and the cover was actually almost like a rubberized kind of material on the front of it. It was the strangest thing. I picked up this is gonna sound super weird, but like if your fingers were like a little bit dirty, it picked up grease really really bad. Really bad. You have to wear gloves. Anyway, so.
Oh, it was like that matte finish?
It was like a matte kind of rubber feel to it. And it was on the cover of a book. I don't remember which one it was. I think it was a DC book or something like that. But that's completely absent, right? I mean, you're buying a digital book and that's all you're getting.
And you can also get that cool like holographic foil
variant
covers.
Oh, I didn't talk about Death of Wolverine. We'll talk about Death of Wolverine in a minute, too.
Okay.
Because you're talking about foil covers and things like that. Death of Wolverine actually has a holographic ish cover. It's sort of like a foil to it. That's the whole reason that I grabbed it from the store. I saw it from afar. It shimmered in the light and I grabbed it. Yeah. So like you wouldn't have stuff like that, or Age of Ultron number one has a foil cover as well.
I don't remember that cover.
Yeah. It's really, really cool. Plus then you've got, you know, fancy issues where like big stuff happens. So like a big death or something like that happens in issue, and they polybag it. They put it in those like fancy bags so that you can't open them and see them.
Oh yeah. With,
Death of Spider-Man had that.
Age of
Fantastic
Ultron.
Fantastic Four had that. Age of Ultron number 8 had that. Something else had it. But yeah, they put them in those fancy bags and they're black, so you can't even see what's inside. But they're super ominous. So like the Fantastic Four one just had a big 3 on the front of it instead of 4. And they're like, man, Johnny Storm.
Oh yeah.
This is the one. I have one. It's still sealed in my basement. Yeah, I got it. I don't think I put that in my... Never mind. I'll deal with that later. But yeah, I mean, there's so many things to consider, right? So like when you're making that switch, like as we quickly approach this age of like, you know, digital music and digital movies, and we watch everything on Netflix and no one owns DVDs anymore and all this fancy stuff. I mean, at what point do people like let go of comics?
If you're a new comic book reader, you should stick with like the hard, like physical copies, just so you have a better appreciation for it.
Yeah. And then you don't wind up in the hole that some people do where... Or no, you do wind up, sorry, you do wind up in the hole that some people are in, where they have too many books and they're just buried. And yeah, I would say, I don't know, I'd it would really depend on the person, I think. If you really appreciate your books and stuff like that.
Like, for example, if I have never read a comic book before and someone as a gift gave me either a trade paperback or digital download copies of The Avengers, whatever, Volume 1, I'd obviously want the physical one compared to like... Oh yeah, I'll download this when I can.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever.
Companies have some companies better than others. A lot of people now have really embraced this whole idea of digital. Image started offering DRM-free versions of their books if you buy them off of their store, which basically means that you literally can download a copy of the book in a file format of your choosing. Marvel actually includes digital codes in a lot of their books, so you get them for free. So you're buying a book anyway, so here's a digital code, exactly. Which makes it super handy. So you get the best of both worlds, where you can buy the physical book and have it, and then you can redeem the code and put it on your iPad or whatever device you would have, which I really enjoy. You also can't get your books signed if they're digital, which I've thought about as well, because I have a lot of books that are signed, and like you're not going to bring your iPad to Steve McNiven and get him to sign it or something, right?
Well, you could, but...
That'd be funny. He signed all your books. If he signed that one book, he signed all your books on your iPad, because he's worked on all the books. Anyway... Speaking of Steve McNiven, and I just mentioned it a little bit earlier, Death of Wolverine came out this week as well. That was the other book that I couldn't remember. Written by Charles Soule, which we talked about, drawn by Steve McNiven, and this is sort of it for him. This is presumably his end, his demise. So I haven't been caught up entirely with Wolverine. The premise of his death enticed me into buying this issue, but I'm not really sure what the setup is here. So if you're out there and you're not familiar with Wolverine, but the idea of him dying is somehow interesting to you, then you can probably pick this up and make relative sense of what happens in it. The art by Steve McNiven is perfect. He's one of the best Wolverine artists, period. He previously worked on Old Man Logan with Mark Miller, and one of the best Wolverine stories. This one's strange because when you pick it up, it's huge, like you mentioned to me.
Yeah, it seemed like
it's massive.
Thicker 22-page.
But the main story is only 22 pages. but it does, I think it's 22, it might even be a little bit less, but it's it also has a bunch of extra stuff in it as well.
Extra content.
Yeah, so there's like a director's cut kind of stuff at the back, so it's got some sketches and some preliminary ideas for how the panels are going to be laid out by Steve McNiven, as well as some extra content as well. I think it's got a premium price on it, which is alarming me now that I didn't bother to look how much it was. But I think it's $5.
Oh.
It might be four or five.
Like
can't remember exactly. Yes. But you do get a lot for the price. So, and it is only a 4-issue series. So, I mean, obviously you're not going to be in for a crazy amount. You kind of mentioned you're sort of up to speed. I guess Death of Wolverine has
kind of
Wolverine depowered. He loses his healing factor. He still has his speed and his strength.
He just can't pull out the claws anymore. Well, he
shouldn't. He can, but he shouldn't. And because the way that they explain it in here is that he's, because of his healing factor, if he pops his claws and cuts into stuff and then pops the claws back in, he can get infections and stuff.
For sure.
Because he's been cutting stuff up. And it's neat to see that kind of stuff too, like see them sort of explain that and bring a little bit more realism to it. And then also to explain that because he's been around so many weird, strange, like radioactive things over the years, his body is like destroyed. So now it's sort of like catching up with him.
The whole thing with what's called Captain America 2, I guess.
Right. So, I don't know. It's neat to see. Cool book. I didn't mind it, but
if they do kill off Wolverine, they have to bring back Xavier. I'm just putting it.
Yeah, it's a trade-off at this point.
For sure.
It's got to be one or the other. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the show for this week. Episode 50. Hope you enjoyed listening. So you can keep up with us. You can check we have a different website now. Our website has changed. It's comicstackshow.com. You can follow us on Twitter as well at twitter.com/comicstackshow. You can listen to all the other shows here on Red River Radio, radio.rc.ca. I have no words.
Read your comic books.
Yeah, and tune in next week.
That's right. Stories of superhuman glory while the sleepy faces beam.